use paid family leave moving forward. I'll stop there. Netsy, I'll let Netsy take over. She's got some ideas too, but you know, we've touched on so many ideas already this morning that are good places to start. I think I'll stop there. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeremy. I thought you were too young to remember Leave It to Beaver, but as somebody who's sometimes accused of being Eddie Haskell, I'll just let it go with that. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for inviting me to address this hearing. It's exciting that you've chosen to review the paid family leave law and how it can be strengthened. My name is Netsy Feierstein. I'm the executive director of the Labor Project for Working Families, and we work on improving workplace policies. I'm also chair of the California Work and Family Coalition, which works with community-based organizations, advocacy groups, and unions to promote family-friendly policies, both through policy work at the state level and grassroots activism. And the coalition was founded in 1999, and I think I'm really most proud in all my work life of the work that the coalition did with the California Labor Federation and Senator Sheila Kuehl to pass the paid family leave law in 2002. As you know, we were the first state to do it, but we've also become a model for other states and at the federal level. So New Jersey passed a similar law to ours in 2008. Washington State has passed a parental leave bill a couple of years ago, although they're struggling with financing it because they don't have a disability program like we did to build on. And there's also federal legislation that's, hasn't gone anywhere yet, but it's there, and it's very closely modeled on our law, so we've really set a great precedent. And the coalition has also worked on other bills to expand our different family leave laws, a bill to guarantee paid sick days for all workers and against caregiver discrimination since then. But as everybody said, and in some ways I'm not going to say anything new, I'm just going to kind of point in directions. It is a great law, but we really have to make some changes on it. So the first thing, and again, you know, Jeremy said this, Noreen mentioned it, the outreach and education is really key. I mean, having worked on this law, it really kills me that people don't know about it, and I've been known to embarrass my children by passing out flyers to pregnant women on the street. Do you know about paid family leave? But so when you look at it, 29% of Californian workers have never heard of this law, and I think Noreen gave the statistics. You know, those statistics are better with other laws like SDI. I think, you know, people don't even know that they have a payroll deduction on their paycheck. It's, you know, it used to not even say SDI on my paycheck. It was some other initials, you know. I didn't know what it was. So people, this has been repeated. People are paying into it. They should have a right to be able to take it. And we know that the SDI fund is in very good shape. It has a surplus. As Jeremy said, we don't want it used for job training or other purposes. We know that a certain percentage of that fund can be used for administrative purposes and is used. And so we know that there is money there that can be used for outreach and education. And in looking at other laws like the Family and Medical Leave Act, it takes 3 or 4 years of sort of constant outreach for people to get the idea that they're eligible for this. And I think the challenge we have with paid family leave is you only need it when you need it. So, you know, pregnant women are taking it probably for the most part because you're pregnant for long enough, you have time to sort of figure these things out, hopefully. But, you know, your parent gets sick, you know, you don't really often have enough time to, you know, Google and search the internet and figure things out. So somewhere it has to either be in the back of your brain or your friends have to know about it. All they have to be able to say is, you know, there's this state program, you should find out about it. So that takes a few years to get into people's consciousness. So we want to recommend that money be used from the SDI fund for these purposes. And from what I understand, that could be an administrative decision or it might take legislation. But I think we should very specifically look into that. Then there are the administrative barriers that a number of people have touched on. Some of them are the forms not being downloadable, hard to get. Intermittent leave is confusing to apply for. Difficulties of getting through on the phone. I do want to say, which other people have said, is the SDI staff and Sandra Poole and her team have really been our partners on this. We meet quarterly. We go through what the problems are, they come back to us with here are the remedies, so they've really been our partners, but there's still administrative issues that they have to challenge with, such as the application not being available online till 2011. I mean, that's been worked on for a while. Backlog of claims, which I think people have talked about the furloughs. So that's something we're addressing and we'll continue to address. I think the biggest problem that you've heard is the confusing issues with, we have all these different family leave laws in the state, and if you're not covered by another law, the Family Medical Leave Act or the California Family Rights Act, you don't get job protection. So I know people have been hitting on this over and over again, but it means that you can go out, you get wage replacement, you have a baby, or you take care of your family member, and then you get fired when you come back, or you get retaliated against. And worse, we actually think that it's a big deterrent. We think that the numbers are not as high in terms of who's using it as was estimated before the laws passed. We think that a lot of people are just not taking it because they're worried about losing their job. So that's one huge problem. Another one that's been mentioned again is the definition of family members, which is very narrow. And the third is that 55% of wage replacement is great. It's particularly good if, like Jeremy, you have sick days and vacation days, so you can integrate it and get 100%. But for low-wage workers, 55% is a pretty low amount of money to live on. So we think that the remedies for this are, one, to look at our California family leave laws and reconcile them in a way that people have job protection when they're taking paid family leave, and there's a number of ways to do that, either through expanding CIFRA or expanding paid family leave. We could look at what works with that. We think that we should at least examine the wage replacement issue. There are other states that are looking at whether people would get a different amount of wage replacement depending on their salary, so that basically if you are a low-wage worker, you might be able to get more than 55% wage replacement. And the other is in terms of family members, which we actually did have a bill a couple of years ago, I think it was 2007, that passed the legislature and was vetoed by the governor, to expand paid family leave to be able to care for siblings, grandparents, and in-laws. And, you know, I think if all of us, I mean, you get these calls, you know, somebody's, your sister's dying of cancer and she has nobody else to take care of them. Well, what do you mean I can't take paid family leave for that? So, as people have said, looking at our, who our families are in California and make sure they're covered. So, just to beat you over the head one more time, the three issues that we would think that should be focused on is money for outreach and education through the SDI fund, the administrative barriers, which we continue to work on with EDD, and finally, the job protection issues, so that people who take paid family leave have a job to come to when they come back. So thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. So I'll be interested, how old are your children?
Oh, they're 21 and 24. So, you know, it's like when they're teenagers, like, Mom, I know.
Well, we should compare notes because I've sent my kids to therapy to deal with being the children of a politician. So it's very traumatic for them. I could only imagine giving out, you know, walking down Montgomery Street and saying, oh, look, there's a pregnant woman.
Right,
let's run over
right.
I guess for both of you, and this is somewhat to everyone in the audience who has an interest, I'd love to have these informational hearings, but one of the most frustrating things is, and this might have something to do with term limits, is actually continuing the relationship to make sure that, Sandra, we just don't get a report dealing with the fourth quarter, but it sounds like, at least, that, and we don't always, this is not always the case, that you have a group of stakeholders who you work well with. So to the degree that we can partner and follow up, if we can work on legislation that cleans things up, I always like to clean up things that the great and smartest member of the legislature, Sheila Kuehl, started. I hope she's not watching, or I'll be as in much trouble as you are, Jeremy. So if we can partner with that, and I sort of look to the department maybe, but to all of you to access the committee staff or me through my office, because it is a great program. And it just strikes me that, you know, with our staff, and I know this is true in all of the offices, just dealing with UI in the district offices, how much of a struggle it is right now for state employees, period. But I know for my own staff, not just the volume of calls, but the emotion, which is reflective of the testimony we heard here today, that irregardless of, fortunately, if you have a good educational level like Walter does, I mean, you're better prepared for this, but emotion is emotion in dealing with these tough things. So I know that I always like to tell my district staff, we have the greatest job in the world. All we have to do is help people who need help. But on the other hand, and this is true for all of us, without the resources, it takes its toll. So I know we've had morale issues throughout the department, sometimes self-inflicted, but sometimes it's just the nature of the time we live in. So the degree we can partner, I'd really like to follow up. And the degree we can be specific in terms of outcomes, that would also, with a timeline, that would be helpful. So Sandra, I'll look to you and our brilliant staff to work with you, and then I'll just take the credit for any of the good things that work out. So thank you. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
That takes us to public comment. Anyone in the public who would like to address the committee? At this point, the microphones are yours. And if you stand and start walking forward, we're going to assume you're coming towards a microphone. Yeah.
Good morning. I'm Beth McGovern on behalf of the California Commission on the Status of Women. And first, I'd really like to thank the committee very much for having this hearing on this very important program. Programs like paid family leave that assist working families in California are a top priority for our commission. And like some of the panelists mentioned, we have also heard from people who have not been able to reach EDD by phone and have experienced huge delays in receiving their paid family leave wage replacement payments. In more than one case, didn't receive it till after they had already returned to work. Now, some people, of course, are fortunate enough to be able to hold out and get by financially and still take their leave. But, of course, there are people who cannot do that, who cannot be on leave without getting paid from their job and not receiving that wage replacement. We are in strong support of the expansions mentioned by some of the people on the panel. Expansions of paid family leave, including job protection and making it available to additional family members. And we are, as also mentioned, also opposed to the governor's proposal to take money out of the fund. We think that money should be used for education and outreach or to reduce the backlog and make the program more efficient. There are a number of us in this room today who have worked for a long time to eliminate discrimination against women and to promote equal opportunities for women. But the practical reality is that since women are most often the caretakers for children and other family members, that without programs like paid family leave, women really aren't able to access and take advantage of the equal opportunities that are out there. So we would urge this committee to do whatever it can to make paid family leave a priority and to protect and improve this program. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Well, just in terms of follow-up, and we will follow up and meet with as many folks who are here as possible, with the committee staff and with me, and with any committee members who want to meet. But it does strike me that we should produce a little timeline, and Sandra's already said I'm going to get a report from you right about the time my CPA is telling me it's time to file my tax returns. But the other issues of money for outreach and using the fund, education and job loss strikes me as being really a horrible gap in the process. And in regards to the governor's budget proposal, I don't I don't recall hearing a whole lot of support for taking funds. There is a lot of support for partnering with the governor and in a bipartisan way, in spite of the two bills today on job creation, and maybe not in spite. Maybe we actually could come to some conclusion so future generations of Republicans and Democrats won't have to go through the hearings that we went through today. Maybe we can find a way to remedy the concerns. But there is a bipartisan effort, I think, and the governor's recognition about jobs in particular. But having said that, these safety net funds are important, particularly in a period like this, so we want to protect them. So those are just a few things, and then some of just the internal things like making sure that we actually make the website more accessible, which sounds like you're already doing, and that any kind of determination that those efforts are actually working is helpful for the legislature. So with those, what we will follow up with is contact with you, and feel free to contact us, or if anybody's watching who has questions, feel free to contact us either by phone. You'll get through to our offices faster. And that's not a criticism of you, it's just a necessity of political life. Or online, and that we will either have a follow-up hearing or we will be comfortable that the work's been done in terms of the reporting. But it strikes me we do need follow-up legislation, and we look forward to working with you on that. So with that, thank you all again, and it's time for lunch. We're adjourned.